the reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He's Todd Vandenberg, I'm Rob Steele, and we've got a very colorful show coming up in that the movies we review this week have color in them. Because they're not black and white. I don't know. It sounded like a good idea to start the show with, and now I'm waffling. I blame the coronavirus.
I like waffles.
Actually, waffles are just pancakes with little squares on them.
Yes.
Now, the coronavirus has hit the entire planet. I wasn't going to say the movie industry. No, it's the whole planet. Screwed up the release dates of a lot of things. Added this week. I mean, last week we mentioned No Time to Die got pulled. The F9, the Fast Saga, which is a Fast and Furious film and very alliterative. Nope, that's been pulled. Quiet Place 2, pulled. Lovebirds, pulled. Peter Rabbit 2. Why did you make that? I mean, pulled. Blue Story, which I'd never even heard of, but that's been put off. And then they added a couple Disney films, Mulan and Antlers, to the list. They have no release date yet, which is just ridiculous all around. I did like a CNN headline out of this, though. Because Tom Hanks and his wife, whose name does not stick in my head, help me out here.
Rita Wilson.
Thank you. They have the coronavirus.
Yep.
Which is really weird. And CNN had a headline. In crisis, Hanks is more of a role model than Trump. Now, I would like to add, he's like that more when we're not in a crisis as well.
True.
You know, I'm just... And throwing that out.
For once, I'll be fair to Donald Trump. Tom Hanks is probably a better role model than most presidents we've had. So just saying.
That's true.
That's just how Tom Hanks is. So that's a really high bar. But, you know. Yeah, it's.
He played Mr. Rogers and it made sense. You've got a very high bar there.
It made sense. Although I had forgotten that he is playing Colonel Tom Parker. And that's the movie they're making a film about Elvis Presley, and that's who he's playing. I thought I'd forgotten about that. It's like, that's cool. That'll be fun to see him play Colonel Tom Parker, as long as he's not doing the same accent he did in The Lady Killers, because that was outrageous. Anyway,
Pep Strebeck.
Yeah, we helped. Anyway. Wow, there's a callback. We hope Pep is doing and his wife are doing well.
I'm actually going to spread that out. I hope everyone who has it,
yes,
it gets better, including the people at Mar-a-Lago. I'm sorry, that just amuses me. So anyway, moving on to actual movie and TV news, because we've actually got some this week.
We do.
Lost in Space, which we seem to be at the moment. Has been renewed for a third and what they're calling a final season.
Yep.
They said it was going to be a trilogy, and there we go.
Are you excited that they've extended it?
I have to. I'm part of me is, because I really liked season one, and then when I was reading this, it occurred to me I still haven't watched season two yet, but I've got time coming up, so.
Well, there you go. I will say I am not, because I stopped watching season one. And at this point, it's been so long ago, I forget why. But it was one of these things that to me was egregious and stupid. And it's like, nope, I'm done with this show. So I don't care.
I will say
Parker Posey is awesome as Dr. Smith. And she alone is by far the best reason to watch the Netflix version of Lost in Space. Super fun.
But yeah, Lost in Space, that leads us to Star Wars, which is Disney, and eventually everything becomes Disney.
Yes.
There was a scene in The Last Skywalker that had a big animatronic, actually built, not CG creature that was supposed to fight Kylo Ren at the beginning of the movie. And that scene got cut. Uh-huh. Before they even filmed most of it. But they did build the big beastie. which had a name, but I can't find where it was. Anyway, they said that for those of you who were interested in this creature, which apparently is still in the book, it might show up on The Mandalorian.
Oh, that's fun. It should show up at a Disney theme park. That would be more fun.
That would be cool as well. You know, they didn't entirely waste their money, I guess, is what they're saying. That, we'll recycle. They're being environmentally conscious, I suppose. I guess.
Speaking of Disney.
Yes.
Skywalker is showing up early on streaming. Yes. Like really, really early. As did Frozen 2. So
actually, they were supposed to start streaming on Tuesday. But the DVDs are coming out later this month.
And Frozen 2 is, I think, 3 months early.
Yeah, Frozen 3 is very early. Episode 9.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
So, yay Disney for being kind and thoughtful and giving people a reason to subscribe to Disney Plus.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's not like they're streaming it for free. That would be kind of cool. It's like, oh, by the way, it's like if you have any kind of internet access, here's a link. Watch the movie. That would be awesome. But it's still pretty cool that they're doing that.
Let's see. Other Disney news. The new Thor movie might have some extra characters in it in the form of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Which it kind of made sense because at the end of Endgame, the Guardians took off and took Thor with him. So, and this came out in an interview with Vin Diesel, who we'll get to later in the show. Hint, hint.
Woo! Hint.
Foreshadowing. So, Guardians might show up in Thor, and that makes sense. Because that's where we saw him last. But speaking of Marvel movies, a couple other things, and I thought this one was very interesting. A story from a guy named Doug Ray Scott.
Yes.
Some of us who go back this far know that Doug Ray Scott was the guy who was originally cast as Wolverine.
Yep.
But didn't get the part. he had the part, couldn't take the part because he was working on Mission Impossible 2. He's the bad guy in that movie.
Yes.
And I think that's where most people know him from. At least in the States. I don't know about Australia, where he's from. But he said the reason he was not in the X-Men movie, because he kept saying, I'm going to leave Mission Impossible 2 for a little bit and go to this X-Men movie. Tom Cruise wouldn't let him. That is the reason. So I suppose we can thank Tom Cruise for giving us Hugh Jackman. I guess, because that's where Marvel ended up having to go once they lost Doug Ray Scott. Just thought that was kind of odd. other things that came out of this, there's a new Mutants TV spot for this poor movie. It finally shows some things that we hadn't seen yet, like Cannonball, or the character of Cannonball, flying. Yay. We finally get a look at the demon bear, who's the bad guy of the movie. Very scary looking. I like it. And we get to see Ilyana Rasputin, the character of Magic, with her open portal and a sword. And I went, yes. It looks like they finally got this, at least some of this movie right. And then it was put on the delay list again. So it's not coming out April 3rd. Who knows when it's coming out? And I'm just thinking, you know what? Put it out on the streaming service or something, because this poor movie has suffered enough. They finished filming it, 2.5 years ago? They've been done with it. It just kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And they said, here is a firm date. Nope, just kidding. There's a virus. We're delaying it again.
Yeah, it is pretty weird. One of the big reasons that they are pushing back, of course, because they think attendances will be low, because it would be. And AMC, both AMC and Regal, and I'm sure a lot of other theaters chains will be taking a similar tack, as they've announced they're cutting theater seating capacity in half, by which I assume they would, since they both have reserved seating, they're going to stagger it, because it would be kind of stupid to say, okay, you all sit in the front half or the back half, so... Yeah.
Oh, so don't segregate your theater like that. Yeah. That'll lead me into the next story.
So if you do go out and see a movie, which we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
It's not going to be quite as packed as what you're used to, no matter what you go to see.
Yeah, the theater segregation thing, it does kind of lead me into a quote from Bob Iger this week.
Hi, Bob.
Who said that Song of the South is absolutely never coming to Disney Plus. Finally addressed it this week. And I'm just thinking aloud. The reason it's not allowed to come is because it was about all the stuff that happened, you know, during slavery and everything. And it didn't make it look good that I recall, because I remember seeing Song of the South 5 million years ago. Mm-hmm. But if it's being banned just because it showed slavery, doesn't that mean that Roots should be canned too?
Well,
I'm thinking aloud. I don't.
There are a lot of racist, I guess we would say, memes these days and themes and everything else. Although, to me, I can see you don't want to put it on Disney Plus. I think that's stupid, because you just start it with a historical disclaimer, like have been done with a lot of other things. But okay, you don't put it on Disney Plus. He didn't say it's not going to show up on Hulu, which of course they own, and they could certainly put it on Hulu. Again, with the disclaimer, I mean, it's, or maybe they're just playing the long game, and one day they're going to release it, and then they're going to make $1 billion because they'll make it an event. That's not what they're going to do.
Even if they did, I don't think it would happen quite like that.
No, I wouldn't. But for me, it's like, put it on Hulu and, you know, just have the disclaimer, because there are parts of it that overall people will enjoy it. It was never one of their great films by any means.
But it did have one of their most recognizable songs. Zippity Doo-Dah came out of this movie, and that song was huge.
Yeah. And people still know that song pretty well. It's a fairly major cultural touchstone. So, yeah, put it on Hulu and just put the disclaimer and say, okay, mea culpa, this was kind of crappy in a lot of ways. However, it's a cultural artifact. Watch it. I mean, you can watch Heckle and Jekyll on YouTube. And, yeah, you want some racial stereotypes?
I had forgotten about that.
Go ahead. Check out Heckle and Jekyll if you want to see some extreme racial profiling. So,
So anyway, speaking of, this is a horrible segue. Speaking of things that are colorful, no.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Heckle and Jekyll, black and white.
Well, yeah.
The talking magpies. We're going to introduce more color.
Yeah.
Into your life than mere black and white.
Ooh. Actually, in the trailers, I can tell the movie that you watched, they're talking about the color purple literally.
Except more or less.
It's not. I don't get that part.
Yeah, because it's kind of more than purple. Yeah, I watched two films actually to go for this show. The first one we're going to talk about, both color plays a very important part in both films. Oddly enough. And so it's not so odd that color is in the title. So the first one is based on a story that is, 93 years old. So I'm talking about Color Out of Space, which, interestingly enough, is not titled The Color Out of Space. And color is not spelled with the funny British spelling. There's no U in color. So Color Out of Space came out late last year, but basically, really, it just came out this year. Color Out of Space is based on H.P. Lovecraft, so most people, I'm thinking, who listen to our show and know about H.P. Lovecraft, you know, one of the seminal horror writers. Speaking of racism, not exactly an enlightened fellow. However, Color Out of Space, I don't believe, really had any racist overtones, unusual for Lovecraft, and this movie certainly doesn't, because it's totally been updated. So, basically, a farmer is just out doing farming stuff, and a meteorite plummets to Earth. Things get wonky. Things gradually get weird and bad for said farmer and his family. Same plot line. In this case, this happens like in current day. And Sid Farmer's a little bit different because it's Nicolas Cage playing the farmer. And yes, he does get to go full Nick Cage in this movie, which makes it pretty fun. It's worth watching. Aside from Nicolas Cage being in it, it's worth watching because it's actually very well done. The times when he goes full Nick Cage aren't overdone, aren't overblown. And again, bear in mind, this is Nick Cage doing his full Nick Cage thing. But it completely makes sense in the context of the film. And then he reins it in and he doesn't go full Nick Cage at the very end of the film. So things happen quite a bit after that. And the movie actually gets better after his full Nick Cage moment, which I was happy to see that the movie actually continues to build to the climax of the original story. Cosmic horror. Things get bad. Things continue to get worse. There are some really awesome practical creature effects that rival John Carpenter's The Thing. Yeah, so there's some really good practical effects. There's some CGI, but they did a lot of practical effects. And this movie is not a big budget movie, so they're not... there have been better practical effects, but as far as iconic sheer, oh my God, that's horrifying, there haven't been a lot of great practical effects overall because we've gone so much with CGI. So... just things get bad and continue to get worse. And everyone in it does a really good job as far as the actors go. A quick shout out to the director, Richard Stanley. This is the first film the guy's directed in almost 30 years. Other than like little shorts and a few documentaries, nothing really well known. He may be kind of well known for trying to film a movie called The Island of Dr. Moreau that the studio took out of his hands 3 days into shooting, mainly because Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando decided to misbehave very, very badly. If you haven't seen The Island of Dr. Moreau, it's worth watching because it's a really, it's a fascinating train wreck. It's not, it is not a good movie at all, but it's fun to watch Brando just not acting, basically. He refused to learn his lines, and he actually had earphones so they could tell him his lines as just the moment before he said them on camera. And Kilmer was on full movie star, I'm a big deal mode. So, yeah, it was really weird. Not a good movie at all, but worth watching just because it's so bizarre. But poor Richard Stanley, never really got a break after that because the studio blamed him. It was like, dude, what was he supposed to do? They're insane. John Frankenheimer took over. Extremely well-known, respected director, and he couldn't rein those monsters in. So, you know.
Hello.
Yeah. Color Out of Space, though. Very entertaining. If you like Nick Cage, you definitely need to see it. If you don't really care one way or the other about Nick Cage, you still definitely need to see it because it's an extremely well done. It's a great adaptation of Lovecraft. Lovecraft hasn't been done very well very often. This is done extremely well. They don't really say, well, for one thing, they never say the word eldritch, which is interesting. They do say the word elder, though. But and the colors, they do about as good a job as you could do representing a color that can't be described because, you know, we don't have any colors that don't exist, but they do a good job with that of trying to represent that. And the sound is excellent. Great soundtrack. It gets really, not just the music, but the effects and everything does just a terrific job of building the suspense as things go from bad to worse, to horrifying, to past horrifying in the movie. So really, really well done. Very satisfying flick. Good stuff overall. So yay Richard Stanley for coming back from this cinematic graveyard. Like, dude, last big film you worked on was that, and here he is with this big thing. And apparently he's a huge Lovecraft fan, which is why he wanted to do the film. And apparently Nicolas Cage is too. This is from the same production company that did Mandy, which is another really weird, freaky horror film featuring Nick Cage, going full Nick Cage. And it's used effectively, unlike some of the Nick Cage films, which are just kind of like, dude, I need a paycheck, so who's got a script? Which, man, he's done a lot of those. This is not one of those. This is a very entertaining horror movie. But if you're a little squeamish, ain't your movie. No, it is not.
I could tell that from the trailer.
Yes. Oh, my God. The trailer shows nothing compared to what happens in this movie. Really good stuff. Very entertaining. Color Out of Space. No you, no the beforehand.
Which is kind of weird. It seems like it should be the color.
It is weird. I imagine perhaps they just did it to make sure, hey, this is a little different. It's a lot different because it just follows that basic, very basic plot. A lot of things change, including some of the main characters. And, well, all the main characters are changed, but some of the character arcs are different. But it's a very well-done adaptation. Very well done.
Cool. Now available at home.
Indeed, it is.
See, that'll become very important in a minute.
It will.
Or, you know, 10, once we get past the other stuff we have in the show. We're foreshadowing a bit.
Indeed.
I'm moving a bit fast, and I don't mean to be, because, you know, we've still got some colorful stuff to do.
We do, indeed, because the other film I saw, which I actually watched before, also is about color, and color is very important in this film. And this one is called Fast Color, actually came out in 2018. And just to confuse the issue, this does have a U in it. So there, Fast Color, C-O-L-O-U-R, although it was originally without the U, so who knows what's going on. Fast Color is basically one of those comic book superhero amusement park ride movies that certain directors don't like because they're stupid, except it's not. It does deal with superpowers, but this is a really engrossing family drama / thriller. Oh, and oh, by the way, it's a science fiction movie that has to do with superpowers. One of the things, basically, a young woman is kind of on the run because she's trying to hide her abilities and she's not really in control of her abilities. So it's kind of hard to hide them. The government is after her because the government wants to study her to figure out how we can use those abilities, et cetera, et cetera. So it's one of those things. And although the government agents aren't really depicted as super evil, which unfortunately they are in a lot of these kinds of movies, they're just kind of, they're not nice people, but they're not like, ooh, super horrible guys. They're jerks, but you know, they're also like, okay, there's a legitimate reason to be trying to catch this young lady. One of the things I like about this, it jumps into the story immediately. There's no... As I mentioned in a show, I don't remember if it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, where they spent 45 minutes of exposition setting up the story, and they could have done it in 5 because they did a terrible job of setting things up. This movie, you jumped right into it, and you figure it out as you go along, and it's not difficult to figure it out. I mean, it's not well done. It's just laid out so well. It's a great script and great acting. Lead actress, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, awesome young British actress. She is just terrific as this girl who has these powers, basically sort of like a picture as Jean Grey, except well done and interesting. So go figure. And that she can't really control her powers. So she gets seizures when the powers are coming on, and her seizures cause seizures in everything around her, like earthquakes. So the government agents can track her because, oh, look, there's a small, weird little earthquake in a place that typically doesn't have them. Let's go there. So she's on the run from these. She goes home to her estranged mother. And as it builds up, you figure out why they're estranged. And you figure out, okay, there's extra family connections here. David Strathairn, who is an excellent actor, plays a local sheriff, and he's awesome because he's freaking David Strathairn. He does a terrific job. So he gets involved in this entire situation, and you're not really sure initially if he's going to help her or if he's in on the hunt for her, et cetera, et cetera. And as you watch the movie, you'll figure that out. Mom is played by Lorraine Toussaint, and I'm probably butchering her name, sorry. For fans of Orange is the New Black, you'll know her. She plays like the main villain. I've never seen the show. Mea culpa, eventually I will. But she is freaking awesome. Can see why she's won Emmys for Orange is the New Black, because, man, she's excellent. She's just great. As the mom who is trying to maintain her distance from her daughter for reasons that become more apparent as the story goes on, that at the same time it's her daughter and it's killing her to have to take this stance, which becomes more apparent as the film goes on. So yeah, it's a chase story between the government agents and this young woman who's trying to control her powers and is working on that throughout the film. And at the same time, and more importantly, it's this family drama between the young girl and her mom and other people who gradually get involved. I mean, this is just a really, really well done film. I like this. And I really liked Color Out of Space. I liked Fast Color quite a bit more. It's just a better movie. It's a more serious movie. You know, it deals with a lot of themes about family and why family is important and how you have to work at relationships, you know, and it's all done within this theme of empowerment and becoming who you are and who you are meant to be. And that may sound kind of like, wow, what the hell kind of a movie is this? Believe me, it's all done within the framework of what's really a superhero movie. So, again, to certain directors who say these are just amusement park rides, and granted, he was talking about specific Marvel movies, but again, he hasn't seen any of them because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, superhero movies can definitely be more than just popcorn entertainment, more than amusement park rides. Just an absolutely terrific movie. Really just came and went. Very few people saw it because just didn't get a big buildup. And again, color is important in this because one of the characters has a similar power to our lead, played by Miss Gugu, and they visualize just an odd framework of colors. And not a lot of special effects in this movie, but when the special effects are used, it's beautiful, absolutely well done. Again, does not look like a low-budget movie at all. Really well done. Very entertaining, very engrossing. Highly recommend Fast Color. Another film that you can stay home and watch.
It sounds like almost a sequel to Prodigy, which we reviewed a couple years ago and even talked to the director of, I believe.
We did. It would be a different power set, slightly different power set, but absolutely it could be Prodigy 10 years later. Absolutely could be.
Which is a good thing because Prodigy was awesome.
Yeah, Prodigy is an excellent film. Absolutely excellent. So yeah, another film that you can stay home and watch. Prodigy. Not the Prodigy. Prodigy. Do not be fooled by any substitute. Has a picture of a little girl in a Hannibal Lecter mask on the cover. That's the one you want. Yes, for a reason.
See, then, I feel kind of bad because your movies had to do with color and mine kind of does in that the title of it describes the condition of my eyes when I watched it, but that's only because of the allergies. I watched a movie in theaters. That's right. I got out and saw a movie. I know I do all the stuff at home. I went out and saw Bloodshot, damn it.
Woo!
But, you know, like I said, it was the allergies, not anything else, that did that to my eyes. So, Bloodshot, the new Vin Diesel action movie that's actually another superhero movie, but not Marvel. It's not DC. Did you know there's a third comic group? There's a lot of comic groups out there, but this one's actually, I think, the number three comic group, Valiant Comics. And they've got some pretty cool characters that I am absolutely unfamiliar with. So, let's jump into this. I'm going to start a new rule on the show, I think. Basically, if you see it in the trailer or if it happens in the first half an hour, it's not a spoiler. Because the only things you really want spoiled are the endings, and you don't want to spoil the ending of a movie. So here's the first half hour of this, kinda. I mean, the only thing I might spoil is that Guy Pearce plays the bad guy. Okay, duh, it's Guy Pearce. He always plays the bad guy. Anyway, the movie, this one just jumps right into it. Vin Diesel is a soldier. Duh. Kind of got that from the trailer. And he's on a mission at the beginning of the movie, and he rescues a guy from a terrorist with a telephone, an old-fashioned rotary telephone, which I thought was clever of him. Unfortunately, he gets killed at the end of it. Oh, darn. But it's kind of how he dies. I'm getting ahead of myself. I apologize. I'm going to slow down. It's the fast part of the movie from that Todd talked about that's gotten me all thrown off. He actually did die during the mission. It's shortly after the mission. A terrorist kidnaps Vin and his wife to get information that Vin doesn't have, so he kills Vin and his wife. Except Vin wakes up. He's been rebuilt by a corporation called RST that rebuilds wounded warriors. Only Vin was rebuilt a new way. He was rebuilt completely with nanobots in his blood that allow him to heal and do computer hacking with his own Wi-Fi, etc. Everyone else that's there is a bit robotic. Like the guy who lost his legs has robot legs. Or there's a woman who inhaled a whole bunch of, I think it was CS gas, which should have killed her, but now she has this big robotic plate respirator on her chest. Vin doesn't have that. Vin looks like a guy. Well, he looks like Vin Diesel, which kind of looks like most humans. It's a Vin Diesel joke. Okay. So he has absolutely no memory of anything before waking up, including his name, until he has a shot of vodka. At least I think it was vodka. I wasn't paying that much attention to the bottle. And all of a sudden, he remembers everything. He remembers who killed him. He remembers his wife. So he steals a pickup truck, which I guess he's so furious he forgot to get fast. It's Vin Diesel. He picked a pickup truck. Anyway. Somehow he accesses the RST database and finds the guy who did it, tracks him down, steals the company plane, accesses the instructions on how to fly it from the computer, flies to Budapest, gets the terrorist, and here's a shock, kills him. Again, this is all in the first 20 minutes of the movie. This is not a spoiler. I will tell you this, though. The way they did the scene where he kills the terrorist was a very, very good action scene, and we should see this more often because it had tactics we don't see in movies. The main fight took place in a tunnel, and they used a tactic that I have not seen in a movie before. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I do want you to see this movie, but not yet. I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, after the fight, he has to be recharged because his nanobots are getting tired. That's how it was described. And I'm like, they don't get tired, but whatever. So he's collected by the other robot-type troops, taken back to RST, and during the recharge process, we learned, like we did in the trailer, that it's not the first time he's been rebooted like this. Oh dear, it's kind of Total Recall-ish. His wife, she may not be dead. He's been programmed to kill the people he thinks killed his wife. Ooh. They just wipe his memory and start over. And behold, we have an evil corporation doing evil things to this guy.
Kind of Winter Soldier-ish, too.
It is. They kill they created that whole first scene we saw in the movie in his head. That whole first thing was in his head. And this time around, they reboot it and they change the terrorist that kills his wife to this next guy who turns out that none of them are terrorists. They're all the RST Corporation CEO's guys, former partners. Oh, that's clever. He's killing off his former partners to prevent lawsuits. Okay. And the female soldier with the respirator comes around and says, you know, what you're doing to him is really unfair. I don't like it. That's the first half hour. The rest of it, you're on your own. But, oh, wait, sorry. There was one other thing that I thought was very clever. And this might be 35 minutes in. You'll get over it. As he's driving away in the pickup truck for the second time that we see, it turns out he's not hacking the computer at RST. They're feeding him the information through the computer. It just made it, they made him think that he was hacking the computer in his head. He's not. He's just being fed the information. I thought that was very clever of them. Something you don't see in a movie very often. And that's one of the reasons I liked this. You saw things you don't see in movies. And overall, I'm not going to say it was an excellent movie. It was a pretty good movie. It had really good action scenes. I thought it had a good plot. As far as acting, it had Vin Diesel's voice, and that's all you really need. I think this was a great beginning for a series of Valiant comic movies, if this is what they're going to do with them.
I like that. I was looking forward to this, seeing this film. I'm looking forward to it even more, hearing your review of it. Thank you, Rob. It's very cool that this is, as far as I know, this is the first of the Valiant films, correct?
There yes.
Been one before.
Not that I've noticed.
I don't think so either. We've seen Image Comics a long time ago with Spawn, and Spawn will be coming again. But so, hurrah.
I want a Stormwatch movie, damn it, but you know, we're not going to get one.
Yeah, you never know. Not in the next few months, though, that's for sure.
Or no.
Few years. But yeah, so this is cool, very cool for one reason, other than just this film alone, which sounds super entertaining and lovely, which is nice.
It was
a new cinematic universe, possibly, because there's a lot of characters in Valiant comics, and Bloodshot sounds like it's an interesting take. I mean, yeah, okay. There's elements of Winter Soldier. There's elements of Deathstroke, and, you know, on and on and on, whatever. But it's still an original character.
I think the one complaint I heard about it was that he doesn't have the comic character's hair. In that and I had to look it up because I didn't remember the character having hair. He's got a military buzz cut. You know what? That doesn't make sense for the movie. It really doesn't.
And so, seriously, if that's the big complaint, is his hair is different? I mean, if it was Medusa, Marvel TV, and yeah. I know that would eventually, later on, that was part of the plot line that Medusa got her hair cut off and blah, blah, blah. It's like, just because y'all didn't spend enough money to do a good job on the CGI is not enough of a reason to change that character's power set. So, totally different. It's just a hairstyle. Like, if that's the big problem with this movie, yay.
Yeah.
Sounds very, very fun. Cool. Yay for Bloodshot.
But here's the thing.
No.
It's in theaters now.
Oh, no.
And with the coronavirus thing going around, probably not a good idea to be getting out. I mean, okay. I've mentioned Pokemon Go a few times on this show before.
Yes.
Which is a game that you have to play by getting out and going and doing stuff. Just to let people who play this know, there's a thing in the game called incense where if you it's a power up, you set it off and the Pokemon come to you. If you go to the Pokemon Go shop now, you can buy 30 of these things that last twice as long for a coin. Normally they're one of them for like 250 coins, 30 of them for one coin. They want you to stay home. They don't want you to get out, which I think is a brilliant idea. For the Pokemon Go people. And like we mentioned earlier in the show, Disney Plus let Episode 9 of Star Wars out. They let Frozen 2 out early. They want you to stay home. Bloodshot is a good movie, but you know what? Yiz can wait to see it. Todd mentioned Color Out of Space and Fast Color, and we've mentioned a few other movies during the show. So you know what? I'm changing the ending just for this week and maybe next week. You should stay home and watch a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Bakunki.